please, around 8:15. Sarah, what are you going to say, Sarah? It's 8:15, so please, Pastor Ron, make sure somebody reminds me, because you hear it? I tell you, something happened to me 2 Sundays ago. Me and my wife came up for prayer. Something happened to me. Let me add this to my short testimony that I shared that Sunday. I'm so adamant. I am. Me, my conviction. I am so adamant about church attendance. This is where I'm at now. That's my conviction. That's just where I'm at. It took me years to build up this kind of spiritual resolve. To me, it's vital that I'm at every service. To me. That's my conviction. I haven't always been here at this place, conviction-wise. I don't do it grudgingly. I don't do it because I have to. I just know that the chances of something happening to me, they increase when I come through that door. Instead of staying home, and sleeping, or any other reason, the chances of me encountering kingdom, they far increase when I walk through that door. I would die believing that. If I fall short in my walk to believing Christ for my miracle, don't ever change doctrine. The gospel cannot be omitted and it cannot be edited. If I come up short in my healing, it's not Christ. It's me not believing Christ. Don't edit and don't omit the gospel if I fall short. Amen. Do not edit it. Do not omit it. It cannot be edited. It cannot be omitted. The gospel is the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Do not edit it. I'm not going to go into what happened to me that Saturday. It's been amazing. Of course, grace come upon me. And when something good happens, bad reports usually come. Should I find that funny? I'm not even going to go into the bad report. I'm not even going to go into it. The Word of God. Colossians says, let it dwell richly inside of you. See, symptoms talk. You can feel symptoms. But when you know the Word of God in here, yes, it far overrides a symptom. That's right. I'm going to minister tonight a little bit on John 13. I've gone through this chapter for years. I've not really been comfortable with my understanding of it. I've known it, but not to the extent that I think I know it now. So I can share my heart out of John 13. Robert's going to phone me a little bit until I get started in doctrine, and I'm going to let him rest his fingers. The title of this message is Forgiveness and Love Are Inseparable. Forgiveness and love are inseparable. John 13, I think in verse 12, Christ asked his followers a question. He asked them a question. He said, do you know what I have done to you? He didn't say, do you know what I've done for you? Do you know what I've done to you? They were perplexed. They knew and didn't know what he meant by that. And you know what? I don't think the modern day church knows what Jesus did. Because of what I hear and what I've been involved in my life. Do you know what I've done to you? Jesus asked the 12. Do you know what I've done to you? You call me Lord and teacher. And you say, well, for so what? I am. If I then, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Christ says, do you know what I've done to you? They didn't know. If he knew, if they knew, he would have asked them. If Christ was here today, we might answer, yes, we know what you did, but by speech, by comments, the body of Christ does not know the meaning of John 13. I've been in error as a Christian. I've offended. People have offended me. In the body of Christ, I've counseled several marriages for infidelity. I've counseled several marriages for misunderstandings. We've had mothers and fathers that have betrayed us. And in every single counseling session, it's never, ever anyone's fault. It's always their fault. It's always his fault. It's always the husband's fault. It's always the wife's fault. When there's infidelity, and it's sad that in the kingdom of God, you have to counsel people about infidelity in the kingdom. But nonetheless, there's forgiveness that there is. But in every counseling session, it's always, I forgive, help me. But every single time, I've been a great husband. Why did she do this to me? I've been a great wife. Why did they do this to me? I was a great business partner. Why did they do this to me? Why? Why? My mom and dad weren't there when I was young. Why? We're always victims in the kingdom of God. But here Christ is laying down kingdom through a foot washing service. Your fault. My fault. I forget, but I need an explanation. When I gave my life to Christ 33 years ago, Sarah, I was so dark. I was so perverted, big dog. So 4 or 5 hours a day of pornography. Hours a day. I had tapes in my house everywhere. The worst husband in the world. Terrible. Verbally abusing my wife. Strung out on crack. Every day, at least one 6-pack of beer, every single day, every day. very abusive when cocaine got in my system. I was terrible. And then one day, at 5:30 in the morning, a presence walked into my room, and I knew what it was. I knew it was Almighty God knocking at my heart. And I let him in with the simplicity of these words. Lord, I repent of my sin. Jesus, you are the Christ, come into my heart. Bam. You know what? He didn't ask me for an explanation as to why I lived the way I did. He didn't want an explanation. He didn't want me to tell him why I did what I did. He just wanted my repentance. Washed me and did not want an explanation. I forgive you, but that doesn't line up with the Lamb of God. All my sin, big dog, I cried for 3 days. 3 days I cried. My wife followed me downstairs. She said something happened to him. And it's still happening. I got on my knees like a baby, Pastor Bronk. Got on my knees like a baby. I said, Lord, forgive me of my sin. You are the Christ. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Not one explanation for all the filth that I did. Yes. And there's stuff that I've done that I haven't even told Pastor Bronk that I never will. I can't tell nobody. Only Christ knows. I shouldn't even said that. But God knows. But he didn't want an explanation, Sarah. He wanted my repentance. He wanted my heart. He didn't need an explanation of all my errors. At that time in my life, I almost lost something so precious. My wife. I almost lost her. I would have lost a gold mine. A woman that's been with me through thick and thin, in the hospital, out of the hospital, and never, ever complains. But through God's grace, he reconciled us. And I'm so in love. So in love. But through all my filth, through all that I did wrong, not one time did he want an explanation. Where do we get the right that if we say we forgive, we still need explanations? Please back that up biblically. After what I teach you tonight, you will agree with me. Christ, John 13. He said, do you know what I've done to you? After he washed their feet, St. Peter says, Lord, you shall never wash my feet. What's Christ say? If I what? If I wash thee not, you have no part with me. Washing their feet. Something in the natural. The feet, without going to much study, I have studied a little bit, is the dirtiest part of the human anatomy. He was washing their feet because in those days, they didn't have Nikes. They didn't have Dockers. They had sandals. And their feet were crusty. They would go to a servant, to a wedding, wherever they would go, they would wash their feet. This isn't about really we should do this in the church. I'm not washing Miss Candy's feet. I'm not washing Pastor Bronk's feet. Side note, I was jogging yesterday by myself, jogging, and I seen Miss Candy and Pastor Bronk with flip-flops. They got the biggest corns in the world on their toes. I'm not touching their feet. I am not touching their feet. Sorry, Lord. Good thing that's not what he meant. For my sake, I ain't washing their feet. coins or no coins, I ain't touch it. By the way, it's a joke. Is it? Okay. Miss Candy, is it? That's not what it's about. When he washed their feet, Christ, he washed the dirtiest part of their body. So none of the natural with so much spiritual significance. So much spiritual significance. Family Prayer Center, do you know what I've done to you? You call me master and teacher, and you say, well, for so. It's funny he said, I am. For so, I am. If I think your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, listen, you also, Family Prayer Center, ought to wash one another's feet. So what Christ was doing or going to do to the body of Christ, says, you Homer, you Anna, you Amanda P, you Delma, you also ought to do to one another. Do you know what I've done to you? Lord, you washed our feet. Oh, it's so much deeper than washing feet. You know what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, I am. If I then, God in the flesh, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That word ought in the Greek is so powerful. It means we have a debt. We have an obligation. We owe it to do what he did. I was saved not on merit. I was saved and cleansed by the blood of Christ. Yes. Redeemed, and I gave no explanation for my sin, neither did he ask me for it. He washed me and gave me eternal life. Not as eternal life and a life to come, but eternal life instantaneously in my spirit. Yes. Right. So you also ought. You have a debt. You have an obligation. You owe it to do what I did with no explanation. I almost lost my wife a year or two of marriage. She almost made a mistake. When I gave my life to Christ, she said, I gotta tell you something, honey. She told me I almost made a mistake. She said, I'm so relieved to tell you that I almost made a mistake. She wasn't saved when she made the close mistake, but she fessed up to me when she seen the light. For the first year, 2 or 3 years after she told me, I beat her up, man. Not physically, with verbal abuse. Wanting details, wanting this, wanting that. I can talk about it now clearly. You know why? Because I'm healed. Our marriage is great. It's healed. Over time, I was healed. And all the junk I ever did to her, Pastor Brock, she not one time ever. And I put her through hell. I put her through hell. When I gave my life to Christ, all the filth, she never one time wanted an explanation for why I did what I did. She just loved me and never brought things up again. Forgiveness and love are inseparable. Christ said, do you know what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord. You say, well, there's a place of healing in Christ where nothing can faze you. Now, to maturing, so you know what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Ought means this: you have a debt. You have an obligation, Homer. You owe it to do what I did. Symbolically, the foot washing service is this. Anything anyone could ever do to you, anything, you must forgive. It's not, I'm going to go to Miss Candy and wash her feet to forgive her. Miss Candy's never done nothing to me. So me washing her feet would be in vain. She never done anything to me. But if I wash her feet, I'm teaching her. As Christ, not me. Candy, I'm washing your feet. Whatever they do to you, Candy, in your lifetime as a believer, you got to forgive. It's not multiple choice, Candy. It's not multiple choice, Homer. It's not multiple choice, Pastor Bronk. You ought to do what I did. Now, that wasn't enough. The washing feet, he washed the dirtiest part of their body. An old covenant, new covenant. When I gave my life to Christ, all my sin was forgiven by his blood. But you know what else happened? My sin nature was taken away, eradicated. That's what Christ was saying. I'm going to wash you, Homer. Not only will I wash you of your sin, but I'm going to eradicate spiritual death inside of you with my blood. And when I'm going to eradicate is spiritual death, and I'm going to give you newness, so I'm going to sanctify your spirit, Homer. You have a debt now, Homer. I washed your sin. I washed away your sin nature. Now you have a debt, boy. A debt. An obligation. You owe it to forgive every single body their trespasses and never to bring it up again. That is kingdom. You say you forgive, but you need an explanation. You have not forgiven. Do you know what I've done to you? I'm learning more and more, Lord. Do you know what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I, then your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought, a debt, an obligation, you owe it to do what I did. It's not multiple choice. We make it multiple choice because we make it about us. For I have given you an example that you should do, that you should do as I have done to you. An example. Regardless of what they do to you, you do not have a sin nature anymore. It's been eradicated. All your sin has been forgiven. What I did, you do. Whatever they say, whatever they do, whatever they don't do, whatever they did, you must forgive. You have a debt. It's an obligation. You owe it. It's not multiple choice. I know it hurt. I know it's not fair. I know mom and dad were not there. I know we made mistakes. Christ said, you have a debt. Nothing that I did 34 years ago was a merit for me to be born again. I did it based on the blood of Christ. He sanctified me by his blood. He forgave all my filth. He sanctified my spirit with his blood and said, now that I've sanctified your home, live out of that place of sanctification. Live out of, if you live out of that place of sanctification, there is no explanation. Don't need it. That is the holy of holies. My dad was not a good dad. At 8 years old, he taught me bad things. Addicted to pornography, addicted. My dad, at times, I can say this now, because he got saved. He would try to find me prostitutes at an early age. I had an open bar account at Davis Lounge. I could drink all I wanted. Me and my friends, charge it. I could get loaded. He paid for every bit of it. He bought me off. I knew he had a girlfriend. At 15 years old, he bought me a brand new red Corvette. I knew what he was doing. But he paid me off. So I'd say nothing. I learned bad things from my dad. Before he went home, his last breath though, he cried out to Christ. I know he did. It was all stacked against me growing up. I liked it at the time. I had to fight all that mess once I got saved, all the perversion in me. A dad getting prostitutes for his son. Do you know what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord. And you say, well, so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Meaning, even on somebody's worst day, regardless of what they do to you, you do not need an explanation. You love because you want to see their soul restored to God. For I give you an example that you should do, not that you should say, you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Listen to this, listen. If you know these things, blessed are ye if you do them. He did one act. Singular. What did he do? He washed what? He washed their feet. Singular. Singular. Washing their feet was he washed their sin. And he eradicated that sin nature inside of them. With his blood. But he said, if you know these things, plural, you with me? Washing feet, what? Singular. He said, if you know these things, plural, blessed are ye if you do them. Wash their feet, singular. Cleanse them of their sin, he said, if you know, intimately, if you know these things, what things? He only washed their feet. If you know these things, blessed are ye if you do them. Forgiveness and love are inseparable. Are you with me? Are you catching on? If you know these things, blessed are ye if you do them. What things? Forgiveness and love are inseparable. What things? You think a little bit of love, mercy, and grace might be involved in the word things? You think there's a slight possibility? If you know these things, what things? Forgiving somebody, kingdom is in that forgiveness. I'm going to find something very interesting. I'm going to read something to you in a little bit, and you'll see it clearly. I talked to Pastor Jim Martin today. Called him. I don't know why. I usually call Pastor Bronk, but I called him. And I asked him this question. He said, right on. See, forgiveness and love, they're inseparable. See, if you know these things, plural, blessed are you if you do them. When did I do these things? When I chose to forgive you of all that you've done. Things were fulfilled. What was fulfilled? Love, mercy, grace. Those things were fulfilled when I chose to forgive you like Christ forgave you. Are you with me? Forgiveness and love are inseparable. If you know these, if you can't forgive, I got news for you. If you need an explanation, you have not forgiven, you are not loving, you are not merciful, and you're not walking in grace. He said, if you know these things, when did I know them, Lord? When you chose to forgive like I forgave. If you know these things, what things? Love, mercy, grace are all involved in forgiveness. If you don't forgive, you don't walk in love. You don't walk in mercy. You don't walk in grace. Christ is the prototype. I'm not your prototype. Pastor Bronk's not your prototype. Gary Culver's not your prototype. Christ is the prototype. He said this, not me. I'm repeating what he said. He said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do the what things? Love, mercy, grace. It's all enveloped in forgiveness. I'm going to speed it up now. Forgiveness and love are inseparable. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. What things? Kingdom things are involved when you choose to forgive. When you don't forgive, you are in violation of mercy and grace. And I know that stuff hurts, man. But you have the power inside of you to never mention that transgression again. Proverbs says, he that covers a transgression seeks what? Love. He that repeats a matter separates very friends. He that covers a transgression, seeks love. He that repeats a matter separates very friends. 1 Peter chapter 4, love covers a multitude of sins. Are you with me? Love covers a multitude of sins. Solomon said 4,000 years prior, he will cover the transgression, seeks love. He repeats a matter, separates very friends. Mercy, grace, and love are all entangled in the forgiveness process. If you forgive like Christ forgave. Now towards the end of chapter 13, he says this. Remember what I said? I'm going to speed it up now. Forgiveness and love are inseparable. Mom has hurt you before. Dad has hurt you before. I've hurt people. If I've washed your feet, if I have forgiven you all your sin and sanctified your spirit, Homer, I've sanctified your spirit, you also ought to do what I did. It's a commandment. Other than you must learn to forgive yourself of things that you've done wrong. I had to forgive myself of things that I've done wrong. Got to learn how to forgive ourselves. Christ said this at the end of 13 in his teaching. This is what he said. Verse 12 to 15. So I'm going to give you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Now, at the end of John 13, he says, a new commandment. First, he gave the example in John 13. Then at the end of John 13, he gave the commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you what? That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also ought to love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You have love one to another. He gave an example. Then he gave a new commandment. Do you think they coincide with each other? If forgiveness and love are inseparable, do you think they might have one to do with the other? Yes. If you can't forgive, don't even try to forgive, don't worry about the new commandment. If you can't follow the example, you won't fulfill the new commandment. But if you strive, if all that's in you wants to forgive, you're on your way to victory, man. I know it's a process, but you got the power within us to not say another word about that person. That power is given to us. The new commandment, I've taught you about forgiveness. I've washed your sin. I've sanctified your spirit. Now, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. You with me? One thought. Okay. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. Listen carefully. Forgiveness and love are inseparable. Remember what I just taught you out of John 13, starting in verse 12. Sanctified and forgiven through the blood of Christ. Finish off the teaching by saying, a new commandment I give to you, Sarah, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, Sarah, shall all know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. Listen. Listen carefully in context to what I'm teaching you now. The love of God was manifested in this. Are you listening to me? The love of God was manifested in this, that God sent his son, his only begotten son, that we might live through him. Real quick, John 3:16. For God so what? Say it with me. Say it. Let me hear you. That he what? Who's okay? For God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave him, because that whosoever believeth him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. Listen carefully. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Listen. And this is love. He said it's not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be what? The propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, what? We also ought. John 13, If I wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, verse 10. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. How did he love us? Our sins were all forgiven. Christ, the atoning sacrifice, was sent to forgive us our sins. As Christ loved us, beloved, you also ought to love one another. How? Forgiveness and love are inseparable. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. And this is love. God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, he sent Christ to cleanse us and forgive us. If God loved us, we also ought to love one another. How? By forgiveness. I said, Pastor Jim, does 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 specifically talking about forgiveness? He said, you nailed it. You nailed it. Because forgiveness and love are inseparable. John 13, if I wash your feet, Sarah, you also ought to wash one another's feet. 1 John 4, verse 10, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It all starts with forgiveness, a precursor to love. Be careful what you say. If somebody asks for forgiveness, be careful. If your wife betrays you, or your husband betrays you, be careful. I was so perverted to pornography. Oh my gosh. I'm going to say some stuff. I should have probably died of AIDS. That's how promiscuous I was in my days. So promiscuous. When my wife had her first child, they scared me. They told my wife, you got to take an AIDS test. I was scared, Pastor Bronk. Because I've known the filth that I had laid with. I've known the things that I had done. I was terrified. I didn't tell my wife. She took an AIDS test with our first child. It seemed, Pastor Bronk, like it took forever to get that results back. I was so terrified, Pastor Bronk. She got the results back. Yeah, what were they? I'm fine. For me to say that I should have died of AIDS, I was out there, man. I was out there. And all that filth, big dog, and all that filth, when I hit that bed at 5 o'clock in the morning, I cried like a baby. Oh, Lord, I'm so pathetic. I'm a sinner, Lord, forgive me. Not one time, Miss Candy, did he want an explanation. It would have took me forever to explain to him the pervert that I was. He forgave me, sanctified my spirit.
It's in this, 1 John chapter 4, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us, Pastor Bro, and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to wash, to love one another. All my sin was sanctified. I mean, was all my sin was, my sin nature was eradicated. All my sin was forgiven and forgotten. Oh, I ought to do likewise. I have a debt, an obligation. I owe it. The one that washed my feet, he now lives inside of me, and he's crying out, forgive.
Yes.
Forgive.
Yes.
Only forgive. Know these things, Homer. Blessed are ye if you do them. What things, Lord? When I choose to forgive you, I walk in the love of God.
Yes.
Love covers a multitude of sin. Proverbs, he that covers a transgression seeks love. He that repeats a matter separates very friends. Let's think twice when somebody asks for forgiveness. Let's not play the blame game. Well, I was a good wife. I was a good husband. I worked hard. I cooked for you. It's not about you. It's about Christ in us. It's about extending his blood. It's about seeing you reconciled to the Father. I've made that mistake. I've been in error. But the more I pray in the Spirit, the more I fast, the more I get into God's Word, oh my, sometimes some of the mistakes that I've made in the past with my verbiage. So now if Christ asks me, Homer, you know what I've done to you? Yeah, Lord. And you know what, Jesus? Wasn't no warrant dead. If I then, Homer, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also, Homer, ought. You have a debt, an obligation. You owe it to do what I did. Because forgiveness and love are inseparable. Before watching service, this is in the natural, with oh, so much spiritual significance. All my sin were washed away 34 years ago. All washed away. And the sin nature that I had eradicated instantly. All my sin was forgiven. And I failed since that day. I've made accusations. I've run my mouth. I haven't covered transgressions. Thank God for his grace. I know now. 8:15. Good, I'm about done. Let me quote it one more time for you, and I'm done. I was about to wind it down anyway. I swear to you, it was time. John writes this. this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us. How did he love us? He sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, to forgive us our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. As Christ, God forgave us through the blood of Christ, we sanctify with the blood of Christ, we forgive like he did. We also ought. We also ought. We also ought. Debt, obligation, we owe it to the King inside of us to let it go. Not to utter one more word about it. Before I close it, I want to thank my beautiful wife for never leaving me. She wanted to, she said, I hated you. Then you gave your life to Christ. Something changed inside of you. You weren't mean to me anymore. He restored our marriage instantaneously. No more crack. No more cocaine. No more pornography. And it's getting better and better. As Christ loved me, so I also ought to love you. No matter what you say or do or don't do or say, I have a new commandment. The commandment is the example. The example was I've been sanctified. The commandment is to love out of the example. A new commandment I give to you. He didn't give the commandment before sanctification, because we can't love outside of sanctification. A new commandment I give to you in these last minutes, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also ought to love one another. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. The new commandment was love. Forgiveness was the example of love, because forgiveness and love are inseparable. Amen. Remember that. Next time somebody says to you, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it, your words after that should be very simple. No problem. No problem. And it's over. We also ought to do as Christ did to us. Amen. Pastor, thank you very much. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Wonderful. Thank you, Homer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give God the glory. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We receive this, Lord, and thank you for it. Lord, let this love predicate be in front of this outpouring. Thank you for the doctrine, Lord, of truth and where we stand. And Lord, the basis of this truth, Lord, will also be the part that you'll bring in the harvest, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Let this love penetrate this church, our individual lives. We thank you, Lord, for the words that we've received tonight. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you're leaving tonight, if you have not signed up and you want to be a part of the banquet on the 19th, what a deal. I mean, all you got to do is show up. You don't have to cook or clean or anything. You can just show up and eat, isn't that? I mean, you don't even have to pay anything. I mean, wow, what a deal. My God, how can you not want to come? So, hallelujah. Amen. But if you're coming, please sign up. We love you. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you, Homer, once again for the Word of God. It was excellent. We praise God. Amen. Let's give God the glory one more time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Would I be? You only know.